It's 2 o'clock, and it's time for your appointment with Elizabeth Barrett, the Reluctant Therapist. What's on your mind today, Elizabeth?
What's on my mind today is our continued observance of Mental Health Awareness Month, which is in the month of May, and my desire to continue introducing different ways that we can maintain and address our mental health that really have nothing to do with walking into a clinician's office and saying, "Fix me." Because the idea of mental health awareness is that we should be proactive in caring for our mental health, just as we are proactive in caring for our physical health. They're all intertwined. And too often we don't think about our mental wellness until we hit a glitch or a depression in the road. And then we start to look around for the kind of care that might be helpful. And that's not a great way to address mental wellness, because when we're in a place of crisis and then we're looking for relief, we tend to jump to those things that might offer a quick fix or the most immediate relief of symptoms. And that doesn't generally lead us to a place of long-term healing or management skills or acceptance of what it is we're experiencing. Because at the end of the day, most of the things that will come from therapy are included in the idea of acceptance. Acceptance commitment therapy, ACT, is actually the most prominently used form of psychotherapy by psychiatrists today. And I point to psychiatrists because, again, when people are in crisis, they tend to think, I want to go to the best person to deal with my mental health, and it must be a psychiatrist because they're an MD. But unfortunately, that might not always be the best choice, because as an MD, they're going to look at your symptoms from a medical model lens and more than likely look for a prescription. But that is shifting a bit, because the world of psychiatry is recognized in their conferences in 2015 and 2018 that they were over-prescribing. And again, in 2026, a couple of really interesting articles in the New York Times about the over-prescribing of psychiatric care. But they've also moved to functional care, which is ACT, acceptance commitment therapy. And the idea behind that is that suffering is essential in our journey as human beings and throughout life. And our ability to adapt to or accept suffering as a part of life helps us to actually move through those times of crisis and then move on to whatever the next experience in our life is. When we trust that we can move through our mental health crises, when we accept that things can be upsetting or difficult or challenging or traumatic, when we accept that that can be a part of life, then we also make room to accept that good things can also happen again or at the same time. So along with searching for our mental health care in times of crises, we should be thinking about what is it that I need to be okay in this moment? Do I need support? Do I need to be subdued? Do I need to feel like I have hope for the future? And usually it's, I need to feel like I have hope for the future, and I'd like to know that I'm going to get through this. And you can find that kind of relief through talk therapy, through different clinicians, LPCCs, social workers, MFTs, everyone with a license, but more importantly, a person that resonates with you and what it is you're looking for. Having said that, if we can get to your mental health care before you have a crisis, that's even better. And one of the ways that we can help maintain our mental health care is through music therapy. And interestingly, because Ben, I know you're a musician, and my guest today is a musician, music therapy is one of the oldest forms, it is the oldest form of mental health care known to man. It's been around through every culture, every civilization since the documentation of civilizations in some form or another. The drumming, making of music, making of songs, carrying the oral traditions of music are all part of how people stabilize their wellness. And then this, as early as the 1600s, there were actually written cases of music therapy used to treat epilepsy or melancholy. And all through the 17th and 18th and 19th and 20th and 21st century, the music therapy world has grown and grown. And currently, it's headed by the American Music Therapy Association, which is an established mental health care profession with trained professionals who are psychologists with an expertise in the music therapy piece. And this kind of work is fabulous for people who are experiencing depression or PTSD or going through grief or loss or transitions, to work with a music therapist, to have that guiding reassurance while you are practicing music therapy can be a great way to move through difficult and challenging times. They found that songwriting, creating music, listening and singing along to familiar tunes are really effective in addressing depression and Alzheimer's and PTSD. Actually, after World War I, the soldiers were coming back and they were shell-shocked, was what they were calling that version of PTSD. And when they were being treated at the VA hospital in New York City, they brought in people to play the piano in the waiting room or in the lobby lounge. My great-great-grandmother was one of the people that came and played the piano, and they found that the soldiers would start tapping their feet and moving to the familiar songs, and that was another avenue into using music therapy to help our soldiers. And as been traditional in all of the history of psychiatry and psychology in the United States, once the military funds something, it starts to become recognized as legitimate practice. And so that's where our modern day music therapy came from, was through the military utilizing it to help returning soldiers. So along with listening to music, familiar music, and writing music, attending musical events is also considered a very important piece of music therapy, because when you're in community with other people experiencing and moving with the music and having this communal energy around the sound and the vibrations, that also all of the hearts of the people there start to resonate in the same rhythm. And I've had that experience. To go back to my Grateful Dead days, I remember being at a Grateful Dead show, and that one song that came on, the whole audience started bouncing in time with, it was John Mayer days, so Dead & Co. He started bouncing, and the whole audience started bouncing, and I had that moment of, oh, I get this. We're resonating, this entire audience, our vibrations of our hearts are exactly in sync, and I felt the power of that communal musical therapy experience. So my guest today is Nico Larson from Proxima Parada, a local favorite, one of my local favorites forever since we first met backstage at Live Oak. I want to say 2017, 2018. I just pulled up the picture. I know.
Yeah.
You were a young buck. they are coming to town. They're in town rehearsing and practicing and preparing for a concert at the PAC in San Luis Obispo with the San Luis Symphony on Thursday, May 21st. And so I invited Nick to come in and talk about the show and his journey into, I don't know, wherever he is today. We're going to find out, because it's the first time I've had a chance to chat with Nick since 2022. So time has flown way too fast, and I don't want to keep talking because I want to talk to him. So this is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation after the show by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, or find me on Instagram, Facebook. I actually posted a picture today of us backstage at Live Oak.
Wow.
That's on Instagram. You can check out. And you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. You can share this show with other people you want to introduce to Proxima Parada by going to Spotify, wherever it is you find your podcast, and look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist and share us to your heart's content. And we're also going to open up the phone lines today. If you have a question or comment for Nick or myself, our number is 805-781-3875. But we're going to take a quick break, listen to a little bit of Proxima Parada to get us in the mood for today. And we'll be back to start our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
How many people had to survive so you could arrive? How many people had to survive so you could arrive? How many people had to survive so you could arrive? How many people had to survive? I'm still thinking about your beautiful face. Stories live in you. Ooh.
Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I was going to get so caught up in the song that I was going to stop. I was going to forget to talk to you.
That song was just about to get going.
I know. And I was torn between letting it rev up and then saying, but wait, people want to hear from Nico.
That sounds good. Yeah, you can listen to the song anytime.
Yes, please do. The song is called?
Oh, Kind Reminder.
Which is the title of the album that it's from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the story of that song?
I'll tell you the true story.
Oh,
It's a fun story.
Okay,
you won't believe it. You'll think I'm making this up. But have you ever been to Hidden Kitchen? They make blue corn waffles.
Yes.
Yeah, so their very first location was that little Cambria spot. And the first time I went up there, it was like right when they opened. My friends had just opened the spot. And I, of course, loved it because it's amazing. And I was blown away. I was thinking about it the whole ride home, just like, damn, that was so good. Those waffles were insane. And I walked into my house, I sat down at the piano, and I started to play. I don't know, this literally just came out, and I was like, I'm still thinking about them blue corn waffles. Mm-hmm, they were amazing. And I was just laughing about that. And then, I don't know, it just put me in such a good mood. And then I went for a walk downtown, and I was right in front of Linnea's, and I started, I guess, like kind of partly with that feeling of like, wow, that was such a fun experience going to this new spot and seeing my friends. I knew that place was going to be successful.
Yeah.
I just knew it, and I was very happy for them. And then I started, I don't know what about this day, I started looking and noticing people downtown. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't just seeing the person in front of me, but I was imagining like, oh, this person comes from parents and grandparents, and noticing that like, we have this long line in front of us. And then I started thinking, gosh, well, what do those people go through? And it just started to really fill me up with gratitude. And I noticed that everyone suddenly felt so beautiful and miraculous. Like, holy crap, how are we even here? This is insane. Like all the stuff that everyone had to go through. And, you know, it's easy to kind of brush that aside, or because we can't really even fathom it. It's too much to make sense of, you know?
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Like how many grains of sand are at the beach or something. You just can't really make sense of it. It's too beautiful.
A lot of us don't have any connections past our grandparents to even
know
what the story is, which also makes me sad.
Yeah, the mystery there. Mm-hmm. But that mystery is also very beautiful because I know that all that resilience resides in us still. Mm-hmm. And so I that song really helped me. It still is a reminder for me to feel that support that is there and accessible.
Almost like they talk about trusting the universe to hold you in difficult times. Yours is leaning into the ancestors that are holding you through difficult times.
Absolutely.
Like welcome to the show.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It was really 2022.
I know. Because it feels like we talk often, and so I didn't want to overuse our conversations, and now we're overdue.
Wow.
So
we
it's
really
good to
are.
See you.
Holy moly.
So for those who aren't familiar with Nico Larson and Proxima Prada, let's do a little short historical timeline of how you came to be, because I love the story and the name and how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, this concert that we have coming up May 21st at the PAC.
Yes, sir.
With the Slow Symphony.
Yes.
This really
full circle.
It's really been giving me like all these feelings of tapping into the beginning of our band. So it's cool to be able to mention it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I met my now bandmate Kevin in the dorms, literally across the street from the PAC at Sierra Madre. We were freshmen. We lived across the hall from each other. He was playing playing his acoustic guitar. He was playing Get Back by the Beatles. I remember that song. And he wasn't singing it. I just recognized the chords. And I didn't play any music really at that time. I was like a brand new beginner.
And you didn't go in as a music major then?
No. I was a kinesiology major. He was a biology major. I wanted to be a physical therapist. None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, he was playing Get Back, and we'd never talked, and I just, for some reason, got it in my head that it would be funny to, like, start singing the song. I kind of, like, burst into his room. It was like, JoJo was a man who truly wasn't a singer. There's no background there. It was so fun. It was a cool moment. And then we started to just play Beatles songs together. That was the basis of our friendship.
Wow.
We just were both obsessed with the Beatles. And then we started eventually branching out and writing our own little songs together. And they were like simple folk songs. And then, yeah, from there, eventually, by the time we were graduating from college, we had, you know, been playing music with other friends. And so, yeah, we...
Was the band a formal band by the time you graduated?
No. Okay. No, we were just playing. It was actually, it's funny the way that the band became formalized, quote unquote. We had a friend, or have a friend named Miles, who plays trumpet. And he one day came in and said, "Hey guys, I booked us a gig."
Oh, okay.
It's like, wait, what? We don't have a set. We don't have a name.
We
suck. Like, what? Yeah, we don't have a name. Exactly. He's like, "Nah, I booked us a gig at Slow Doco."
Yeah. All right. Donuts for
all. Which honestly felt terrifying. It was like, we're not ready for this. And that was January 7th, 2012 was our very first show. And so, yeah, we needed a name. And Miles also, he's like, "Hey, I've been thinking about it. I've been holding on to this name for a long time, Proxima Parada or Proxima Parada." And you know, we all immediately knew what that was and thought it was funny because if you go to Cal Poly or if you take the bus in San Luis Obispo, you know that at every stop on the bus, it's going to say, "Now approaching Proxima Parada," which means next stop, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll say the street name. And so we were used to hearing that 50 times a day, and we thought it was funny, free marketing. And yeah, from there, the band just took off as like we were just playing for our local community, playing fun shows for Cal Poly students, and then eventually branching out more and more, playing coffee shops and then wineries. And then eventually in 2019, we became like a full-time touring band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when I met you, and we have decided it's 2017, you opened for Michael Franti.
Yes.
You were still working full time, but you weren't a kinesiologist. Yeah, you had not finished, right? You were in
I graduated from Cal Poly with a kinesiology degree.
You stuck with that.
Yeah. But I did not do that professionally. Yeah. I was a high school Spanish teacher at Slow Classical Academy for 5 years, which was a wonderful experience. I loved the school, it was a great community. But it got to be tricky to live both lives, especially with the touring. It just would mean that I would need a sub for a month or 2 months. Right. And it just unfortunately wasn't feasible. So, yeah, just since 2019, we've been doing just Proxima Parada.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Nico Larson. He is frontman the right word?
It feels weird.
It feels really weird.
That's what everyone says, because I guess
you stand in the front and sing.
I stand in the front and sing. Yeah.
Along with his best friends.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a personality associated with frontman that I don't think I have.
I picture tight jeans with a sash.
Yeah, no sash. The jeans are fairly comfortable.
Okay. And Nico's with Proxima Parada, and they're in town rehearsing for a big gig, a little step up from Slow Doco, at the PAX Slow on Thursday, May 21st. And tickets are still available.
Yeah, there's still some tickets left. Yeah.
Some are still there. Great way to kick off Memorial Day weekend, May 21st. So if you're interested, tickets are at PAXSlow.org. When you made that decision to say this is my career, I am a songwriter, musician, band member, was it like walking off a plank, or did you feel like confident that this was going to be good? Because you don't know in that moment.
Yeah, you don't know. I still don't know.
You don't? How many albums have you released?
I don't know. Six, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm, of course, really grateful for every opportunity we've had. But I feel like being in a band is a practice in delayed gratification. You know, a lot of what we do, you have to do it for the love of it and not for necessarily what you're going to get in return in that moment. You know, so, you know, we've been putting in like 9 months of work into this concert, you know, writing the arrangements and planning everything with, you know, getting a symphony to play with us. It's been an insane undertaking. And
whose idea was it?
It was my idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like
so
a dream that I had. I felt like it felt like the most special thing that we could offer as a local show, because San Luis Obispo started to just feel like another stop on the tour, and it didn't feel special. And so I thought, like, what's something that we could do for Slow that just feels like no one's doing this, you know? And so, this collaboration is so special. But yeah, the delayed gratification is, you know, all these things that we put in all this work towards, you really don't know what will come of it, and you just have to commit to it anyways. And, you know, I certainly can't be obsessed with like financial gain. I have to live really simply, live within my means, and and just define success on my terms, which has been, you know, if I can support anyone in their journey by sharing these songs, it's all worth it for me, you know.
Is it the love of the music or the love of the time with your band that makes it most worth it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess it's both. It is really nice to be able to connect with people who on a shared vision, you know, to collaborate and not do everything on your own. But also I think it's the humans in the audience and the listeners, you know, at home that really make it worth it. I think, cause I think if we were just doing this, if the band was just traveling around the country in a vacuum and we're just having fun playing on stage together, which is, it is fun, but I don't think it would be worth all the trouble and the no sleep and
sacrifice.
Bad food. And
yeah. Food. That is so true. So have you written anything particular for the show, or did you arrange your songs with the symphony in mind?
Yeah, a bit of both. So yeah, there's a full night of music, and we took our favorite songs that we know people really connect with, and we arranged them to be able to have all this extra color and texture and depth with orchestral instruments, you know.
Yeah.
So and just so people understand, it's still the band.
Yeah.
I'm still
yeah.
singing.
Yeah.
Some people are like, "Wait, are you not singing?" Like, "Yes, I'm singing. I'm there." We're not
band.
Sitting in the audience, you know? Like, yeah. And the orchestra will be really featured. We want them to be heard. They're going to be playing parts where your eyes are on the orchestra at times, which is really cool. You know, taking themes that might have just been like a simple guitar part, and now it's being played by all these strings and woodwinds, and it just really brings so much more depth. So yeah,
I asked you to bring your guitar on purpose.
Yeah.
Can you, I'm not even going to name it. I want you to choose something that kind of is coming up for you.
Sure.
Something you're going to be playing on next Thursday.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Whatever's
like
on your mind.
Yeah. Do like, I could do like a broken down version of something, and then you have to kind of use your imagination to picture all the orchestra and the band, and
it'll be a good introduction because people will hear you today and then go to the show and go, "Oh, this is so rich and beautiful."
Yeah.
Both places.
Cool.
Okay. My guest is Nico Larson from Proxima Ferrata, and the song we're going to hear.
I'll do 24 Brand New Hours.
I love that. Okay.
That's a really fun one that I know we'll be playing.
I'm ready.
"24 brand new hours, it's our day. 24 brand new reasons, why we're not the same. We don't have to play cards with Poseidon. We can leave the ocean behind us. We've been holding our breath for long enough. My congratulations. You're back again, babe. Every bit of you is welcome. And I know 28-year-old Van Gogh is on her way. Now even when summer is shining, it can feel like winter inside us. I know, 'cause my Amazon is getting thin. Emerson gave me permission to go out, to go out on a whim. Now I've been scratching my head, wondering what's going on in my head. Yeah, I just want to be friends with my head. An hourglass is fragile, and I know today's an opportunity.
Yay. Nico Larson, Proxima Prada, 24 Hours. Okay. Story of the song.
Oh, 24 Brand New Hours. Yes. That's like a joyous reset button song. I remember it started with just the melody, and I was I was singing. Oh, it's funny. Kind of coincidentally, similar to Kind Reminder.
Yeah.
But I was singing
Is it food
happy
related?
Birthday. I was singing happy birthday for some reason. And I sometimes you just kind of ad-lib things, you know, and I guess it was like the feeling of happy birthday in the sense of like this rebirth that I was feeling. And when I got more clear about it, I realized that, yeah, I was just trying to acknowledge that this gift of having 24 brand new hours. And I originally got 24 brand new hours. That line is from this Vietnamese Buddhist monk named Thich Nhat Hanh. And yeah, you've probably heard of him. He's wonderful. And that's the chapter of chapter of one of his books, Pieces Every Step, mm-hmm. in that book he had a chapter called 24 Brand New Hours, and I resonated with that.
What I love about it is the mental health connection, because the question I was going to ask you is how devoting yourself, because you said at the beginning of the hour that you weren't a musician, you didn't play instruments,
right.
You weren't a singer when you started college.
Yeah, I'm a late bloomer.
Yes, and you've released all of this inside of you, and I'm curious how that has impacted your mental health, because the research is so strong supporting songwriting and making music and writing a song like 24 Brand New Hours, to me, which would be like a mantra or the anthem of someone who struggles with mental health issues.
So I think you're spot on. I think writing songs is a way of making sense of what's going on inside of us. Sometimes maybe I don't have the words, and then when I, you know, try to put it to music, it comes out. It almost feels like it gives us permission to make sense of things. And absolutely, like you said, it, you know, you're almost making vows when you write a song. You know, like you said, it's a mantra, and so I can come back to these songs and let them encourage me and support me, and then of course offer it to others as well.
Yeah, because when you, it's almost as you're singing affirmations of your own life. And then I love the interest about chanting or mantras and how it resonates in different parts of our body.
Yeah.
And then kind of that vibration balances our mental health and our well-being. And so I'm wondering if there's different songs that you are drawn to when you're feeling different things because it resonates in different parts of your body, or if you even notice that.
Sure. Well, yeah, I don't know if I notice it on that. I don't think I pay that much attention to my body. I maybe oughta, but I do find myself singing certain songs of that I wrote, because I think I don't write songs because I have the answers. I write songs because I have questions and I'm looking for support, and you know, these songs are really supportive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I writing it once doesn't necessarily mean that I'll never feel that way again and I'll never need that support. So I do find myself coming back to them often. Yeah.
It's like a living journal.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That quest for knowledge or insights about ourselves. And every time you sing it, I'm sure it releases different insights for you, because the people who listen to the songs, it taps into them.
Yeah.
I know for myself, songs hit me in different ways, and I crave different songs at different times in my life.
Yeah, same.
Whether, again, I'm knowing why, but
right.
the craving is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels very comforting sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Nico Larson from Proxima Parada. And we're celebrating music and Mental Health Awareness Month and the foundational part that music plays in maintaining our mental health. And we're celebrating the band coming back to town for a big concert at the PAC on May 21st with the San Luis Symphony. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation. I might get Nick to play another song right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
What will you say when you find out I am gone home? What did you do you said no to that walk? I know we had a good run, now I'm ready for the next part. I hope you learn to listen, listen, listen to your heart. 'Cause I know I was there. How did I sleep through the storm? I woke up and all that stood was this door. I looked for a piece of paper, 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 but I didn't have the strength to sing. Remember when I ate a chocolate, oatmeal, cookie, and I didn't taste a goddamn thing? Sometimes I wasn't there. Time for me to begin, begin again the rest of my life.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And if you have a question or comment for Nico Larson, our number is 805-781-3875. And before we get first, let's talk about that the song we were just listening to.
Oh. Begin again.
Yeah. That was a little new for me, and I thought I was an aficionado of all the music, but it's beautiful. Are we going to hear it on the 21st?
You know, I don't want to reveal too many secrets, but I will say
we
will play that song. I'll tell for listeners here, you'll know. I'm really excited about the arrangement that we have for Begin Again for this song. It starts out with just acoustic guitar and the orchestra. It's cool to have reimagined some of these songs, and it hits in such a different way. It feels very emotional to hear the melody that I wrote on the piano being played out by the orchestra. It's gorgeous.
Do you write most of your songs, the melody coming to you first? Because the two that we talked about were melody driven.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't have any hard and fast rules about songwriting. For me, it's a real listening practice. It's not active. I don't think like, oh, I'm going to use my intellect and fashion this song. You know, I more feel like it's this wonderful opportunity that I get a chance to like chase this thing that I heard. And so whatever I'm hearing and I just have to kind of sit with it as long as I possibly can with as much focus and like openness and see what's available.
Yeah.
Sometimes songs just like come to me in a dream and I just have to try to chase that. Like, what was that?
How do you record your dreams? Do you keep a recorder next to you, or do you try to?
I just thought of a song when I mentioned that So Many Ways to Get Downtown is a song that
I love that song.
Yeah, I wrote that as a dream. That came straight from a dream, and I have this recording on my phone of being. It's like probably 5 a.m. and I'm totally asleep, and I'm like trying to. I'm like trying to like mouth, and I had like lyrics and melody coming out in the dream. And then, like, well, it hurt that we were broken. I'm like, oh. I would never want to share it with anyone. It sounds so bad. But I was hearing the song, and then, you know, I remember just like getting out of bed, and I was so cold and tired. It was dark still, and just sitting at the piano, and just, I knew I had to work it out.
Yeah.
And it, by the end of that morning, the song was done. You know, every verse, chorus, everything. So yeah, it's just kind of, you kind of have to chase it while it's available. It feels like.
So what was happening all the years that you did not think you were a musician or a singer or a songwriter? Because were you happy? Like, where was all of his songs hiding?
That's so funny. I swear, when I was in high school, I thought you had to choose between, like, are you like in the band program or are you like a sports guy?
Okay.
And I thought I was a sports guy.
Soccer player?
I played rugby and football.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was actually a rugby injury my senior year of high school that led to me playing piano.
Oh.
Because I dislocated my shoulder and I couldn't like really do much, but I could keep my hands to my side. And so I started just kind of tinkering around, and it really got me so inspired, and I got really obsessed really fast.
Yeah. And obviously very good at it, because you were teaching piano shortly after that, weren't you, for a period of time?
Yeah, I guess I have taught music to a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I feel like I had to catch up. Yeah.
But again, it had to have been living inside of you all along.
Yeah, well, I have to give props and acknowledgement to my mom. Mm-hmm. She's a singer. She's a wonderful singer.
I've heard her sing.
She's a beautiful singing voice. Mm-hmm. She writes songs. So, but I always thought that was her thing.
Right.
I never identified
with
it.
She wasn't a rugby player.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was carving my own path. But I it turns out I'm literally just like a continuation of my mom, which is really interesting because I always thought I was making my own decisions. But,
right.
You know, like she's obsessed with languages and learning languages, and I'm obsessed with learning languages, and now I'm obsessed with music. It's and I thought I was being original.
Kind reminder.
Exactly.
We don't fall far from our trees.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why it behooves us to pay attention to our trees, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of gifts in those ancestral ties that we might be missing out on.
Yeah, because we can often obsess over, like, I want to just go as far away from mm-hmm. my parents or mm-hmm. whatever things that were challenging that we mm-hmm. grew up around. Like, I want to go the opposite direction.
Right.
But we can forget that there's a lot of real, like, beautiful things, too, that were available.
Which is unfortunate that we do focus on the ways that our history might have harmed us or been a negative, because there is fruit.
Yeah,
all the way through, right. But we have to sometimes look at the great aunt or the the uncle once removed, but those ties are there.
Yeah.
Our voice. And talk about the ties into the band, because you're not the only person up on stage as Proxima Prada. Let's talk about your bandmates.
Yeah, let's talk about the starting lineup for the PAC show.
Like, should drum roll them in?
Of course, there'll be the San Luis Obispo Symphony will be there.
Yay.
And then representing the band side mm-hmm. will be Kevin on bass, Aaron playing drums, and Josh playing electric guitar. And then his brother Sean, who has played drums with us a lot in the past, he'll actually be joining us and playing all the extra percussion parts.
Fabulous.
So he's a fantastic musician, jazz, classical musician. So we're really stoked to have all five of us on stage, and then, of course, plus symphony.
So how's your communication on the stage? Are you nodders? What's the language that
there's
passes?
There's definitely some nodding going on. Absolutely. We're naughty, for sure. I feel like the main points when we need to nod are, like, just note, like, if there's sections that we are leaving loose-ended, like, how long do you want to play this solo for? Just, we kind of, we'll look at each other and be like, yeah, that's, we're good. And
like,
we're gonna
you
move
need
on
to stop
the next
now,
section.
No.
Usually it's the soloist telling us that he's good. Yeah.
Aaron, you need to back off. Josh, stop playing that song. But I would think that for me would be part of the fun, is having our secret language on the mm-hmm. stage and kind of knowing we're killing it right now.
Yeah, or like, yeah, there's definitely like moments where we'll laugh to each other of like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I remember when we messed this up last night, and like, thank God we didn't.
Here we go again.
Like, kind of, hey, we got through that. Nice. You know.
So if you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. My guest is Nico Larson from Proxima Prada. And I would love for you to share, because you said that you really have gotten into languages. Mm. How many languages are you pursuing these days?
Yeah. Well, of course, Spanish is like my first love.
Okay.
And I still keep that a big part of my life. My phone is in Spanish and I'm talking in Spanish a lot. But since then, I've also been learning Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, and really gotten into that, how they're similar, how they're different, all the cultural aspects that come with that, the music that comes with it, everything.
Are you writing music in other languages?
In Spanish. I have a song in Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah, which I could, yeah, we could explore that, talk about that. I really do want to write a song in Portuguese, but I haven't gotten there yet. I feel like I got to get better.
Does it feel more lyrical, the language? Is that why it draws you to wanting to write?
I love Brazilian music. There's so much good music coming out of there. And so I think it does inspire me because it's nice to sing. It's very beautiful sounding. Same with Spanish. Mm-hmm. You know, they're beautiful languages to sing. And then I've been learning the language that my mother speaks best, which is Japanese. And my mom is really into Japanese language and history and people and everything. And she always instilled that in me, but I was always way too intimidated to start that journey. And so like in the last year, I've been confronting my fear of Japanese and trying to understand the grammar more and the syntax, and it's deep. It's really hard.
So you're feeling humbled.
I'm so humbled because, in all honesty, like I worked so hard in Spanish that I felt like, okay, I'm just naturally good. I'm gifted at learning languages, and people hear me speak Spanish and they go, wow, like you're so good at Spanish. And then that's just, it doesn't necessarily translate to Japanese. you're starting over, you know?
I think I'm we all infant. Meet that place where we aren't fully competent, though.
Yeah, it feels good to be a beginner and to really suck at something and to just accept that, to be like a baby again. It's good for us, I think.
It's good for the neural pathways.
Yeah.
Right? When we get too rooted in our routines, then we stop growing. So we have to bust those comfort zones and try the new things. But if you're up for it, I would love to hear a song in Spanish.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. What do we got?
Our newest album has a song called Esta Nochecita.
Translated to?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like a cute way of saying tonight in like a diminutive way. You know, like ita is like a way of making something sound like cuter. Like abuelita. You probably heard someone say abuela is grandma, but abuelita is like, it doesn't necessarily mean little. It's kind of like sweet, cute.
Like best grandma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like endearing. So esta nochecita is kind of a way to make that. Make tonight feel that way.
I like that. You know? What's the latest album?
Into the Way.
Yeah. Okay, here's Esta Nochecita. Solo está. Esta nochecita, y sé que mañana, cuando brille el sol, no estarás a mi lado, pero escucharé tu voz pegada a mi pecho. Me diste cuando no viniste a la estación del tren, que viaje más largo, quise sentarme a conocerte y comer vegano. Mi cariño para ti, sin lujo, desnudo, como la luz de luna, no necesito lámpara, solo luz de luna, y una persona.
Larson from Proxima Parada. And the name of the song again?
Esta Nochecita.
And the story behind this song?
Oh, I wrote that song on the train coming back to San Luis Obispo. And I think it was just kind of a idealized, fantasized like relationship. Mm. Just like it's a really sweet, romantic song. Just kind of, yeah, like a maybe, yeah, I'd like... trying to, manifest like the ideal relationship,
Again,
you dream of.
Yeah. Yes, putting the intentions out into the universe.
Yes, yes.
And then wanting to bring them back.
Yeah.
I love that. So you mentioned your latest album is?
Into the Way.
And so are there themes to each of your albums? You know, are they representative of... kind of like your blue period, you know, is there a theme to it or how do you...
Maybe someone else could do a better job of that than me because I'm in it, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to listen and get out of the way and write songs that you know, feel very personal and honest. And so whatever, I'm sure there are themes, but I guess it's harder to zoom out and... I think that'd be for like a music scholar could understand it better than me.
Well, because I always think about the olden days of my youth when we listened to albums and the albums would have, you know, a thematic piece, the way the songs were placed and you would listen to them.
Yeah.
We don't really have that as much anymore, or do we?
Yeah, like a concept album.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen. There's a few songs in the new album, Into the Way. There's like these three songs that are all connected. It says like part one, part two, part three. And so yes, there are things like, you know, themes that tie together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually just like depression or something. It's not like, oh, I wanted to write a song about, you know, politics or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
although
that.
A good protest song never hurt.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, maybe that's something that we're needing more of right now, actually, is a little less about depression and more about the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that takes us down another direction, but that's a lot of conversation, you know, in the therapy world or the therapeutic world is, you know, what moves a revolution, what moves the social progression of humanity. And it's usually a soundtrack of some kind, whether it's the French Revolution or the 1960s revolution or even the, you know, American Revolution of 1776. There's that sound, that drumbeat, that march, that cadence that brings people that confidence to move forward. And I worry sometimes that we are too internally driven about our own processes of depression or sadness or grief and not externally motivated in musically to have that anthemic experience.
Yeah. Like I can understand that. I think I just have to be able to sing what's really honest and true to me. And I think the things that I sing, what I can hope for is that it supports people as they're going through similar times in life. And so I think by focusing on the individual, it helps me to focus more universally instead of like me pretending to tell people like what to do, because I don't really I can't prescribe that, you know, like you need to get up and you need to be a better person. Like I don't know.
Well, there's again, as you said, you put that intention out there. It's like, am I willing to stand on the mantra that I'm singing about? I mean, we have to be able to step into whatever that is.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce Springsteen, you know, recently released his song about from Minnesota. He steps into that place. Like I imagine he's going to whip his, you know, bandana out of his back pocket and beat somebody up. Like I imagine that. Yeah, so I think we have to be able to step into that place. But I think all music, like you said, if it's honest and generative from that place, that inspiration can lift people to taking action without being
totally
told to.
Yeah. And if, you know, I've been so fortunate to hear messages from people over the years of like, this song really got me through a hard time with a divorce or with the loss of a loved one or all these different things. And so I think, you know, there's so many different aspects of life that we need support around. And I think I'm just kind of staying in my lane of like, okay, I know what I can sing about wholeheartedly, but man, like Bruce has got to be Bruce.
You know? That's what I love about
that. I know
that.
I'm not Bruce, you know?
And that's also important to know. I know that, you know, being at a concert with you, I leave feeling joyous. The music is infectious, and I'm not a concert dancer.
Yeah.
I'm more of a concert listener.
I like to sit and listen to. Yes. Yeah,
I feel also, but I feel the movement when I'm at one of your shows, and I love that because again, I rarely allow myself the freedom to feel that loose.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the joyous, uplifting kind of tones help us to kind of open up more too, and then feel what's coming up for us. And so, yeah, I think it's all they're complementary, you know, like having the nice grooves, having the fun band helps us to like loosen up, be aware. And then maybe the lyrics will help you to be like, oh yeah, I see that in my life. And you know, yeah, I'm working on that too. Or
I like the joy, the confidence that comes with that.
Yeah.
My guest is Nico Larson from Proxima Prada, and we're here celebrating the bands. And it's not a return because you're here a lot, but this is a new experience.
Yeah, we're not able to play in Slo very often. So, it's been over a year.
Has it?
Yeah. So.
Well, so this is big. You're going to be at the Slo Pack at Cal Poly on May 21st, Thursday. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. Yeah. Don't be the lamos that try to get on campus with 15 minutes to go. It always amazes me. It's like, we are the slowest city in the world of showing up places. Doors open at 6:30.
Yeah, we're going to have fun in the lobby too before. So you are incentivized to come early. We got a really good merch booth set up. We're setting up all these like raffle prizes and all sorts of fun stuff. There's a Cal Poly student musician who's going to be playing in the lobby beforehand, just like a music major who's just super
fun.
Good. Wanted to, you know, have more Cal Poly representation and really, really excited about the whole night that we're creating. And then I should also mention that after the concert, there's this VIP after party that's really fun. And we're going to have food by Sichuan Kitchen Slo. We're going to have wine from Castoro Cellars and dessert by Bread Bike. So it's like this whole, all this local love, all this community coming together to just really make it a special night. So you can get a VIP after party ticket when you go to buy your concert tickets too.
Yeah, if you go to packslo.org, the tickets are there, and then the VIP add-on is there as well. Is that, will everyone feel welcome to the VIP after party? Or
absolutely.
Will that just be the cool kids?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'll be there. So yeah. So
definitely the cool kids.
So clearly anyone's welcome.
So where do you put your sports energy?
Oh, I actually, it's funny. I'm glad you asked.
Okay, good.
Because when I was in college, as I started to get more and more into music, I thought that meant kind of rejecting that sportier side of me, that I love going to the gym and lifting weights. And I thought like, oh, I'm not a gym bro. I can't do this. I'm a musician now. Yeah. And in the last like year or so, I've reconnected to that love of going to the gym. And so I've been lifting weights again, and it's so fun to tap into all sides mm-hmm. of us, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Because it loosens up other parts of our creativity.
Totally.
To try to be binary, I'm one or the other, which you kind of felt trapped in. Yeah. I imagine now it's loosening up different
all that
energies for
yes.
you. And how the music yeah. will change as it
totally, yeah. Songs will come while I'm like on my bike, or you mm-hmm. just never know. You got it, yeah. Moving is very
so.
Helpful.
If you're next to Nico in the gym, you might be singing. Yeah. Just look away.
I'm usually in the gym. Because they always have loud music playing in the gym. You know, I'll put on headphones and I listen to a history podcast. I listen to The Rest Is History.
Opening up other parts of your neural pathways. All right, so in our last minute, which I'm sad because I hate the last minute things. I know, totally flew by. Let's talk a little bit about the set list and playing with the symphony and what makes this different than a regular concert.
Yeah, right. Because, of course we have the songs that you know and love will sound different because they'll be so much bigger and mm-hmm. so much more color. But one thing that we're doing that we've never done before is we have this overture, which will start the night like as an overture does. And you'll hear just the orchestra playing themes that will be throughout the night.
Almost like the beginning of a musical.
Yeah. Like the beginning of a musical, yeah. Beginning of an opera.
Yeah.
And we wrote that, and it was an insane undertaking. Josh really took the lead on that, our
Go
guitar
Josh.
Player. Yeah, he did incredible work on arranging this music. And yeah, I'm so excited to have that kind of nod to classical music as well in our music.
That's so exciting. Will you be wearing a suit and tie?
Heck yes.
Oh, I'm so
we
excited.
All got suits for this.
I love that. Matching?
Somewhat, yeah. Kind of complimentary.
I love that. I'm looking forward to it. May 21st at the PAC, Slow Symphony and Proxima Parada are going to be performing. Get your tickets. I'll be there. I'll wave to you. Nick, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure to hang with you again.
Too fast. This has been a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Find me on Instagram or Facebook. Leave a message there. You can always listen to our previous shows. You can hear our previous show with Nick from 2022 by searching back into the KCBX archives, or you can Spotify our show. You can podcast our show by going to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you find your podcasts. Look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Leave a review. It helps other people find us, and listen at your convenience. But as always, thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for tuning in every Tuesday, and I look forward to seeing you next week right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.